we don't talk about the positive of St. Louis enough. I read the Post-Dispatch and St. Louis Mag and all these others, and I do listen to KMOX, by the way. But sometimes, you know, we don't talk about the positive things in St. Louis. There's so much positive growth.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Just played you a little clip there. That was from Rasheen Aldridge. He is the alderman from the 14th Ward in the city of St. Louis, and he is my guest this week. I was really excited to talk to Rasheen and get to know him, get to know his journey to politics. We also talked, about the state of politics, how politicians treat each other, how politicians communicate with the public. And he has a lot of hope for the city of St. Louis, which I greatly appreciate. We're going to get into all of that in our interview. I'm joined now by Alderman Rasheen Aldridge from the 14th Ward. And Rasheen, we were just saying, like, it feels like we know each other, just like both being like downtown all the time. I know I've seen you at Chris's at the docket before, but I've never like come up and said hi. It's just cool to like formally meet like this. So thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. And I think, you know, a lot of folks that, you know, either stay downtown or work downtown, you know, we go to these spots that, or you just kind of see folks walking around and you'd be like, have I seen that face before? I've seen that face. So when I walked in, I was like, I feel like I've seen you before. So it's so glad to officially be here in person. And thanks for having me.
Of course. Yeah. We were talking about how great Chris's is. I have had more meals there than anywhere else in my life. The food is so solid. Staff is so great. So.
The staff is amazing. And then, you know, once you start going all the time, they kind of know you by your name.
Yes.
And I'm a big fan of their eggs, and you never can go wrong with one of their mimosas. Very good.
Very nice. Okay, so let's get started by talking about Ward 14. Just kind of tell me about the ward. I know you've faced some challenges recently with the tornado fallout, so I'll just kind of hand it over to you. Whatever you want the KMOX audience to know about Ward 14 here in St. Louis.
Yeah, so Ward 14 is a fabulous ward. It's very diverse as well. So the neighborhoods that Ward 14 is made up of is, so we have downtown and we also have downtown west. So we roughly go about 8th Street in Washington, close to the convention center. Then I have back of the convention center, and it goes far up west to about the soccer stadium, everything east of Jefferson. As you continue to go north in that ward, we have Columbus Square over by the convention center. We have Carr Square. We have JVL. We have St. Louis Place, Old North St. Louis, Old North Crown Candy, one of the best restaurants in the city of St. Louis, High Park, Fairground, and then one of the areas that actually have been impacted by the storm is College Hill. It's kind of the end part of the ward, and the northern part is right off of 70 in Adelaide. So that was probably one of the, as a tornado was traveling into the east side across the river, College Hill was one of those last neighborhoods that the tornado touched. Now, there has been some areas like St. Louis Place and areas in the JVL where, you know, homes, far as like their roof, maybe a little messed up, but not to the level of the devastation where like the tornado really dropped down. And the hardest part of my area is College Hill, where before it went to the Illinois side, it crossed through the College Hill neighborhood.
So what was going through your head that day, you know, whenever you, because I mean, I was broadcasting downtown. I knew there was a storm, but it didn't seem that bad down here. You kind of find out throughout the course of the evening, oh, this is actually horrible. So, you know, as an alderman, as someone who's, you know, tasked with taking care of people and making sure to solve problems, like just kind of what was going through your head and what was that like for you?
Yeah, I think it actually was like a Friday. So I remember going home. The Board of Aldermen just had like our Friday meeting. We're on summer break now, but we had our Friday meeting. We meet at the board at 10. It was kind of a short meeting. And after the BOA, I went home and, you know, there was reports of storms. And honestly, I was about to take a nap on my couch. I love rain coming down and being able to look out my window. And, you know, it really didn't rise to a level of a concern, because in St. Louis, you know, we haven't had a tornado like this in a long time. And we always, you know, hear, you know, tornado storms are coming through. Most of the time they probably touch down in like Northern County or maybe in the very south end of South St. Louis or South County, but not in St. Louis City. So, you know, I was watching Channel 4 and I seen Corey doing his thing and he was putting me to sleep. I'm like, this is their moment. They're doing the weather thing. And, you know, it kind of came through and it didn't really touch downtown. But once it left St. Louis, I remember getting a phone call from President Megan Green. And she was like, oh, my God, have you seen what's going on? I'm like, no, I was about to take a nap. And then I got on Facebook and I seen the devastation right off a natural bridge. And I mean, it Natural Bridge and probably about Grand, everything east of Grand down Natural, everything west of Grand going down Natural Bridge, it looked like just complete devastation. And then I seen other pictures of people homes in that area. So I reached out to Dan Gunther in the mayor's office and I was like, hey, what are you guys doing? And they was going to the emergency center and the police headquarters in SEMA. I was like, I'm gonna come, like, what can I do to help? And me and Dan went out to kind of assess the neighborhoods and assess the area. And it was heartbreaking. Even now, just thinking about it, you know, just reliving some of the details, you know, it's one thing to see images. It's another thing to be on the ground in the heart of where this tornado hit. We was on Natural Bridge and some of the side streets. And it was just extremely sad. You know, we got out and, you know, Dan was introducing himself, letting him know he's with the city. And then we tried to, we thought we was going to Alderwoman Laura Key's house, but we was blocks over. So we got out the car and we couldn't drive down the street because power lines were down, trees were down, everything was down. So we got out and we were walking through it and you just hear car alarms going off. You hear home alarms just going off. You see, you know, families walking out with little kids in plastic bags of their clothes, clothes in plastic bags, putting it in their car instantly after the tornado. Like, we got to go. It was the words. I can't even honestly come up with the words. It was so devastating to see. You know, people always say North St. Louis. You know, growing up in North St. Louis, people have said North St. Louis, you know, because I haven't been developed. It looks like, you know, sometimes a bomb has went off because you have these vacant blocks and blocks of vacant homes. But this literally looked like an explosion had happened. And it was extremely sad to see residents and family members just in shock.
It's got to be so tough to see the city that you love ravaged like that, like kind of out of nowhere. I know it's had a similar emotional effect on other people in government. It was very heartening for me to see the way the Board of Aldermen, you know, you guys don't always get along. There's a lot of drama that goes on, but it felt like right after that, everyone came together and was like, okay, we have to band together and we have to get stuff done and we have to get stuff done quickly.
Yeah, I have a friend that sometimes called the board the Real Housewives of the Board of Aldermen. And very true. I think that's any government body, right? You won't always agree. I'm so glad to be from Jefferson City and back home in St. Louis where there's a lot more common value and there's a lot more agreeing than, you know, up in Jefferson City. But this tornado definitely brought us all together. And it's sad that a tragedy, you know, I feel like a lot of times a tragedy is somebody who was involved in the Ferguson movement. You know, it took like the death of Mike Brown to bring people together and understand policy change was important around policing. And it took for this tornado to really unify the board. You know, we have moved legislation in record time in literally 1 week when historically it takes about 3 to 4 weeks to get a bill introduced, heard in committee, second read, perfected, and then third read. And we've been able to come together understanding that, you know, in that first week, a lot of us went out to O'Fallon Rec Center and was doing some cleaning up. I was out there with Alderwoman Schweitzer and myself. And then a day after like the tornado. And then the second week we start working on policy and, you know, between the mayor's administration, I have to give her credit. You know, she was not my pick for mayor, but also have worked with Mayor Spencer when I have been an alderman down there. And I think she's doing a phenomenal job. And the way that she has worked with the Board of Aldermen and the way that the president has worked with the mayor, the way that the alders have worked with the president and the mayor to get legislation done as quick as possible to try to find relief outside of state and federal funds. It's been remarkable. It's been really amazing to see some folks that, you know, I would be disagreeing with on the floor, you know, at a press conference, standing side by side with each other and the mayor talking about unity, St. Louis being resilient, our community being strong, and, you know, us as elected officials coming together to do our part when communities stepped up on day one.
That's really heartening to hear as a city resident that, you know, that things are going in the right direction and everybody's able to work together. I'm talking with Alderman Rasheen Aldridge from the 14th Ward. Let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about you and how you were inspired to get into politics. You're young. You've been doing this a long time already, though. So kind of tell me about your journey to where you are now.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about it. Come next year, it would have been 10 years since, you know, ever running for office and winning and being elected. I first started as committee man in 2016. But, you know, for me, it started with my mom. You know, my mom is no longer with me. She passed away about 2 years ago. You know, she had a stroke. But I grew up in the same ward that I represent now as an alderman, or when I was a state rep, I represent or a committee man. I grew up in Carscore neighborhood, and my mom, you know, really had me involved in community participation. You know, I went to a county school, so I went to Parkway West. So I was part of DSEG program from kindergarten to 12th grade. And I always kind of had these special lenses on of not understanding why in my neighborhood, you know, there wasn't many opportunity. It wasn't like a playground to go to. But when I would go to school out in West County and I go to my friend's house, it's like a total different world. Mm-hmm. So many things to do, you know, just walking from school to their homes, to the gas stations, like it was like a completely different life. So I think, you know, kind of wanting my neighborhood to have those same opportunities, and my mom installing things into me. She worked very closely with former Alderwoman April Ford Griffin, who was the Alderwoman of, before we went to 14 Wards, was 28, the 5th Ward, you know, Christmas drives, back to school events, neighborhood cleanups, you know, everything that the Alderwoman April Ford did, like my mom was always there. She was kind of like she was an unpaid campaign manager, but she had us at all these different events. She had us at all these different things that tried to bring community unity. And eventually she ran for office and she lost. And before I end up running for office, I was involved in the fight for 15, raising the minimum wage for $15 in a union in probably 2013, and then later involved in the Ferguson movement. And I found myself taking that organizing of wanting to be involved in my community and turning that from a protest to eventually running for office. Myself in 2016, myself, Bruce Franks, Corey Bush, I remember there's like a picture of us down in Carr Square. She was running against Jason Kander, and Bruce Franks was running against, at the time, State Representative Penny Hubbard, and I was running against Rodney Hubbard, Sr. And we all ran, and myself and Bruce had to go to court to get a new court date and won, but it really was, it was people like my mom, Tanya Finley, who really installed those things in me. It was, you know, the community that I grew up in, not having resources, and it was the activism from the fight for 15 to Ferguson, and eventually understanding that it's important to be outside, but you got to be in the room mm-hmm. making the decisions, and you want to have somebody that, you know, in my opinion, why I decided to run, who's going to be a voice for the people and not a voice just to get elected over and over again.
How proud was your mom of you whenever you did get elected?
Oh, man. She was proud. She was proud. She was able to see me get elected as, you know, committee man when I got elected in 16. And I went against a, you know, family dynasty, the Hubbard family. And she had once ran against Miss Penny Hubbard and lost. So for me to kind of win, she was excited. I became the youngest committee man, African-American committee man in St. Louis history. And then, you know, becoming state rep and going to Jefferson City. She was there on my swearing in day. Mm-hmm. And then just recently in 2003, when I ran for alderman, and that was a tough race against, you know, the Bosley family, Ebony Washington, who was part of the Hubbard family, and then James Page, who was a current alder. She was there on my swearing in day, and she's been able to see me, even though she's not here, she's here with me in spirit. She was able to see me accomplish some things that she was always my cheerleader, always knocking doors, always if somebody was, you know, talking stuff on Facebook, she'd be that mama bear and be like, not my son. So I just know she was proud. I know she's still proud. And she is a big reason of me being in this position because of the things she installed in me in a young age.
Stick around. There's more of my interview with Alderman Rasheen Aldridge up next on The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Welcome back. Today I'm talking with 14th Ward Alderman Rasheen Aldridge on The Rachel Zimmerman Show. What, in your opinion, does St. Louis get right, and what is St. Louis currently getting wrong?
Ooh, what a
big
good
question.
That is a big question. And guys, this was not, I didn't get any of these questions ahead of time. So, you know, I'm going to start with the what we get wrong and then end on positive.
Okay.
You know, I think me being an older person, what I'm noticing is that St. Louis is very antiquated. It's very, you know, it's very slow. And it has a lot of systems that need to be updated. And, you know, what I've seen is, and kind of what's a positive, is I've seen that this Board of Aldermen has took a lot of the old infrastructure of the city and tried to pass legislation to make the city great. You know, one thing that I think we have processes in place that are just kind of outdated. You know, let's take trash and recycling. You know, we still, to this day, our trash trucks go down the street, they pick up trash, and they come back and they pick up recycling. Majority of our recycling is contaminated because folks don't know how to recycle properly, right? So I think we have a lot of systems in place that just don't make sense. And I think, you know, that's one of the things we get wrong in not modernizing technology, not modernizing city government, and modernizing City Hall. So when people come to City Hall or they want certain things done through CSB to get their grass cut, how do we make sure that it's modernized, and by it being modernized, that it is efficient? And I think we can do a lot better in being more efficient in government to not only benefit the city, but to make residents feel like that their tax dollars are actually going to use. Now, what do St. Louis get right? I think we get a lot of things right. You know, if it's our Cardinals, our Blues, we got a great restaurants. I think, honestly, we don't talk about the positive of St. Louis enough. You know, I'm kind of an old man. So when I go home, I'm only 30, 31. But when I go home, I look at the news. I look at Channel 4. I look at Channel 5. I look at Channel 2. And I read the Post-Dispatch and St. Louis Mag and all these others. And I do listen to KMOX, by the way. But sometimes, you know, we don't talk about the positive things in St. Louis. There's so much positive growth. Just being an alderman over the last, you know, several years, I've been able to see just recently, like the Millennium Hotel that I've been able to pioneer with the legislation when we get back from the board. We're on break right now, but when we go back, the development bill for that, I've been able to see a lot of positive things happening in the downtown area. I've been able to see things like, you know, legislation passing to finally hold Paul McKee accountable in North St. Louis so that we can start to tackle these vacant buildings. I've been able to see like community come together and do neighborhood cleanups. I've been able to see just, you know, different type of growth, if it's been the corporate world or if it's just been, you know, I've like the speed humps, the small things that Andy at Crown Candy has been asking for years and finally got to slow down traffic. There's a lot of good in St. Louis that we don't talk about. And I think, you know, that's kind of the what we don't get right. We don't be our biggest cheerleader a lot. Sometimes we're our biggest critic. And it's nothing to criticize because, you want to challenge and figure out what we can do better. But also think, there's a lot of positive things that are going on in the city, and I love it. And I love to see how we can improve, but I do see positive growth happening in the city. And, you know, Moniker, a beautiful business opened up recently in downtown. So there's a lot of things, I think, coming to downtown, to North St. Louis, to the Central West End, that is positive growth for our city in the long haul.
I couldn't agree more. I wish the narrative was a little more positive, because I feel like we just get kind of caught in this negative cycle of like everything that's wrong. You brought up the trash pickup. It's so interesting to hear you say like we need to upgrade our technology and stuff, because that's something people talk about on KMOX a lot. Like, why can't we get this trash thing right? Well, maybe we're thinking about it in the wrong way. Maybe we think about it in a different mindset. We'll be able to figure it out. But speaking of mindsets, I feel like there are people out there that don't live in the city of St. Louis who are actively rooting against the city. And every chance they have to be like, see, this is what's going wrong, like, they'll take it. Do you agree with that? And if so, why do you think that is?
You know, I'm hopefully some of my former colleagues from the Missouri General Assembly is listening, because I feel like they are our biggest haters. Mm. They are our biggest individuals who root against St. Louis. You know, they only love coming to St. Louis. I always say that for our Cardinals games, our Blues games. And then, you know, they use this rhetoric that it's unsafe. I stay downtown, and, you know, I walk from my house to work. I walk from my house to Wyshaf. I walk from my house to a Cardinals game when they recently played the Cubs and we won. Go Cards. But there's so many people in the General Assembly that, you know, I continue to see since I was up there, and I continue to see now, of extreme people on the right side of the aisle, instead of trying to support St. Louis, instead of trying to provide resources. We are a unique city within a county in an urban area. And instead of trying to control St. Louis, like our recent police board, you know, we voted for local control. And, you know, love it or not, I know a lot of people still don't feel safe. And that is something that we have to tackle, the perception of St. Louis. But also, what cracks me up is, you know, people always talk about like data and facts. So, and then when you bring the data and fact that actually like crime is at a historic low, it's like, but, you know, and, you know, we voted for local control, and we have Jefferson City folks that do not live here, want to continue to try to control us through our police board, you know, trying to control us through the way that we govern, trying to control us through the way that we run or who we elect. And I don't think it's not helpful for St. Louis. It's not helpful for the state. You know, St. Louis is an economic engine. Let's not forget the economic engine of this state. And the more that St. Louis is successful with partnership and not control and domination, it's beneficial to the state, you know. And I hear the cries from, you know, some of my friends in West County that I went to school in, Parkway, of like, oh, I'd be scared to go down there. And it's like, it's not that scary. Mm-hmm. It's not. I'm telling you, it is. St. Louis is, it's like any other municipality in St. Louis County. It's like any other municipality in the state of Missouri. Nothing's going to be perfect. But I can tell you, you can walk down streets and you will be okay. Do we have an unhoused issue? Yes, we do. And that's the thing. St. Louis is taking on larger challenges than other municipalities are not. You know, they talk about it, but we are doing the work. They drop off our unhoused residents in St. Louis, and we're the one who are left with the brunt of trying to figure out the solution. So, you know, to the folks in the outside of the St. Louis area, like, I appreciate, or I'm here for the criticism, but also figure out how you can support. Because again, if St. Louis is great, St. Louis County is great, Clayton is great, you know, St. Charles is great, our state is great, and we are only going to be better together. I don't support better together, but we're only going to be better together if we're supporting one another.
Part 3 of my interview with Alderman Rasheen Aldridge is up next on The Rachel Zimmerman Show. I'm talking with Alderman Rasheen Aldridge from the 14th Ward. I'm so glad you brought up Missouri politics. That was going to be my next question for you, was, you know, what is it like working in a blue city in such a red state? But it seems like you just answered that question. It feels like the state is trying to control us. Do you think a lot of other aldermen or other people in government like have that same sentiment?
Absolutely. You know, I am so glad to, one, be back home. You know, but it was an honor. It was a huge honor to be a city boy who, you know, lived in St. Louis and had the opportunity to serve in the state of Missouri at one of the highest chambers in Jefferson City as a state representative for 5 years, and be able to get a lot done. And I learned a lot. I did learn a lot from my colleagues from the other side of the aisle. And I think, unfortunately, what people see on TV and what they see on the floor is what I call theatrics, or WWE. You know, people get on the mics and they want to grandstand. And I think, honestly, on both sides, if it's Democrats or Republicans, we're getting too far apart from one another, and we're getting kind of in our own silos. But I did learn a lot from a lot of my colleagues who lived in rural Missouri. I'm like, hey, you can actually benefit from an increase in minimum wage. You don't have livable wage jobs. You don't have hospitals. You know, your closest grocery store in rural Missouri is like, you know, 30 minutes away. We talk about food deserts in North St. Louis. It's very similar in rural Missouri. But I think, you know, we don't look at the issues and we look at these party lines and we get, you know, kind of separated just because of a D and an R. And, you know, coming back home has been amazing. I feel like I'm actually able to be a lot more successful in being able to pass legislation. But now I can see kind of from being inside in Jefferson City, now kind of being outside, how, you know, again, over and over, if it's legislation that we worked on or surveillance for technology when it comes to policing or other technology that we have or other pieces of legislation that we've passed at the board, it's like Jefferson City just be paying attention to St. Louis. It's like they are our biggest haters. And instead of, again, being our biggest supporters, and it gets frustrating because, you know, I understand College Hill. I understand Hyde Park. I understand JVL. I understand, you know, Central West End. I understand these communities in St. Louis a lot better than a Nick Schroer, or a lot better than I can't even think of some of their names, but, you know, than some of my counterparts in the State House on the opposite side that wants to, you know, just have input. I was going to say Jim Murphy. That's what it was. Some of the input from them instead of trying to control St. Louis, it's like, how do you work with people who live and breathe and, you know, walk down these streets and see the vacant buildings, that, you know, hear the gunshots? It's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to live it. It's one thing to have lived experience. It's another thing to read about it in a newspaper. And I think if they actually, you know, what I've been able to love to see with Mayor Spencer is how she's been able to work with the governor, how she's been able to work with Josh Hawley and Eric Schmidt, you know, people that I wouldn't vote for, but more of those conversations, more of those working in collaboration, there's going to be hot button issues that we would just disagree with. Guns, abortion, sure. But the issues that really can, like, bring us all together, the basic human needs, the basic resources, the basic things that people just want to feel safe, productive, and feel like that they are part of their community. Instead of Jefferson City trying to control St. Louis, the more that they work with us, it would not just be, again, beneficial. I think I said this already, not just beneficial to the city, but to the state as a whole. And, you know, maybe I'm too optimistic because I'm young. Like, let's be the state to show, yes, we are D. Yes, we're an R. We will disagree on certain stuff, but we can stand next to each other. You know, when I seen Josh Hawley and, you know, former Congresswoman Cori Bush out in North County around the work that Congresswoman Bush started, and she was able to work when she was a congresswoman with Josh Hawley to help people that were affected by the radioactive waste and contamination of water. Like, that's what it should be about. It should be about helping, you know, helping all of our community members, instead of always just trying to fight with one another. I think if we dial down less fighting and more working together, it would go a long way.
What's it like behind the scenes at that in the House? You know, you say on the House floor, people want to get all WWE or whatever. But when you see each other in the hallways, was it much more civil in those cases?
Absolutely. One, there's not much to do in Jefferson City. There's nothing but, like, restaurants and bars. I'll be honest. So a lot of times after, you know, session, one way to really get to know each other was to, as we say, we broke bread. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a beer with one another, and you would actually see, like, wow, Chad Perkins, you're actually really cool. You know, Robert Lane, an older gentleman, I think from maybe Joplin area. I mean, you know, you would think he's older, he's white, he's conservative, he's a sheriff, that, like, there's no way me and him would get along. I'm this young, black, liberal Ferguson activist. And we had conversations. Me and Robert Lane had conversations about how we do need to come together to improve certain conditions when it comes to policing, right? And you would have conversations with, you know, some of our rural counterparts, you know, after being on the floor. And I would say there's a lot more of folks getting along behind the scenes than what you see when the camera's on and when, you know, it goes live. And those fights are important because every state representative on the Democratic side and the Republican side are fighting for issues that clearly their community care about. I get it. I think the Democratic issues are a little bit more of for people instead of corporations and other things. But yeah, but once you know, we're off the floor, I've made, it's Ron Hicks, you know, to this day is a good friend, and had my back up there the whole time, you know, on the floor and off the floor. It's like, if you need something during that time, I have a prosthetic on the right side of my leg. When I laid inside my mom, I didn't get proper blood flow. My mm-hmm. right leg was short, my left leg. Shriners Hospital is amazing. They turned my right leg around backwards. It didn't develop a knee, so they turned the foot around backwards to play as a knee. And at one point, you know, I didn't have insurance when I was up in Jefferson City. I didn't listen to my mom. And I was, I had a prosthetic that was, it was basically broke. I was duct taping it every like 4 days. And Ron Hicks would be on my butt like he was my dad. Like, you need to get a new leg. You need to go to the doctor. Yeah, and you know, take care of yourself. But from the Senate side, you know, to Senator Elaine Gannon, Senator Crawford, you know, so many Republican senators that I've been able to, you know, build a relationship with, you know, behind the scenes. Those things I don't think people see. And if we could take more of those behind the scenes moments and bring them to actually the forefront, we'll probably get a lot more done that way than, you know, worrying about what special interest group want us to do.
Absolutely. I'm talking with Rasheen Aldridge. He's the alderman from the 14th Ward here in the city of St. Louis. And there's still more to come with our interview. Keep listening to KMOX. Hey guys, here's the final part of my interview with Alderman Rasheen Aldridge. If you've missed the first parts of the interview, this episode is available for podcast now. Just search for The Rachel Zimmerman Show anywhere you get your podcasts. This interview is flying by. I really would like to have you back on the show.
I would love to be back.
Yeah, this has been awesome. I do want to ask you before I let you go, like, what are some of the initiatives that you are most proud of working on? What are the things you're currently working on? Like, what do you want people who don't know about you to know about you?
Yeah, one of the things I was really proud to do when I was in the House is in the month of April, I passed a bill that recognized the month of April as Limb Loss Awareness Month. Again, you know, being somebody with a, I don't really consider myself with as a person that has a disability, because I feel like I get around, you know, when I was a kid at Shriners, I would always see other kids that, you know, would maybe have to be in a wheelchair or their situation was a little worse. So I think my disability has taught me to be thankful and appreciative of life. You know, it is for somebody who has to put a prosthetic on every day, you know, for people that are able-bodied, they don't think about these things. But in the month of April, I passed a bill that make the month of, like I say, April, Limb Loss Awareness Month. People that have just lost a limb and bring awareness to that issue, which is super important, something that I'm proud of. You know, I've passed when I was in the State House millions of dollars to come back home to non-for-profits and organizations in my district. But being as an alderman, you know, one of the key pieces of legislation that I was really glad that I was able to work with one of the organizations in my communities, St. Louis Place, and also the JVO neighborhood, we did a blight redevelopment bill. And that's a scary thing when you do blight. NGA is great, you know, coming to the city. But in that area used to be a lot of people that had homes there and they were eminent domain and forced out. So now we have been able to do the opposite. So this bill that passed maybe last session, I talked about it a little earlier, it holds Paul McKee and other developers accountable. You know, they bought up all this land in North St. Louis and have been sitting on it. And North St. Louis has beautiful brick homes. You drive down St. Louis Avenue, like large castle homes. And we don't build homes in, with these beautiful bricks anymore. So we passed a bill that give tax incentives to residents. A lot of times we give incentives to big corporations mm-hmm. and businesses. But this one is an incentive for residents so that if development starts to happen, they don't get gentrified out. And, you know, we've sent over hundreds of letters to Paul McKee and other developers like, hey, you need to sell this at market rate or we're going to, you know, go to court and start to take this away from you. Civilian, not civilian oversight. Another bill that I pass is CCOPS. Alderman Terry Kennedy is a legend. He still is at the board as a clerk. And they tried to pass CCOPS for about 10 years. CCOPS is community oversight around technology that our law enforcement use, not to try to stop our law enforcement. And we pass all the resolutions for those technologies. But, you know, for taxpayers to make sure that we know what technologies are being used so it's not invading our privacy. But also, if, you know, let's say ShotSpotter is not being a successful technology and the city is spending money on it, you know, we were able to know how much they were spending money on, and maybe do we need to reevaluate what we're doing. And then the last thing more recently is the Rams settlement money that I was a big part of. You know, after week one, I called President Green. I'm like, last time we talked about Rams, it all blew up at the board. You know, it didn't work out. But I was like, we got to do something with it. We got to do something with this interest money. I know we're waiting on the state. I know we're waiting on FEMA, but we have to show that we have some stake in the game. No, $30 million is not enough to a community that has been disinvested in for generations. But I was like, we got to do something. Then I reached out to Casey Milberg at the mayor's office, and I was like, we got to do something. They was like, we got to wait. And I kept pushing and kept pushing. And then I got Megan, President Green, on board, and she called the mayor, and I called the mayor. And before we knew it, they was like, okay, let's do it by this week. You know, we already had a bill framework ready. So, you know, being able to get that Rams interest money out the door, I'll be honest, I think we need to tap more into that funds for North St. Louis. But I was proud to work with President Green and the mayor's office to, you know, show that the city has stake in the game when it comes to funding to start to get those funds out the door. And last week, the mayor announced how some of those funds from Rams interest is going to go out to support people. So just a few things. But the biggest thing is every day I wake up, it's an honor to know that I have the ability to try to improve the quality of life for a community that I grew up in and to work with constituents that hold me accountable. And I love it. They blow me up. They yell at me. And that is why, you know, that's why I ran for the job. And it's an honor to work with them every single day.
I love that. And it comes through just through this conversation. I can tell you're about what you say you're about. Thank you so much for joining me. That's Alderman Rasheen Aldridge from Ward 14, only 31 years old and has accomplished so much. I can't wait to see more from you.
Thank you.
Again, thanks for coming down to the show. You have to come on again.
I will absolutely come back. I felt this was so easy to do. Thank you for having me. It was I felt like I was talking to like my sister. So.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. I really enjoyed talking to Rasheen. He is a great person. I think his heart is definitely in the right place. And I want to thank him again for making the time to visit with us on KMOX. I love the opportunity to get to sit down with some of our aldermen and other politicians in the city and just kind of pick their brain, see where they're coming from. So thank you once again to Rasheen Aldridge from the 14th Ward. Like I said at the beginning of the segment, if you missed any part of our conversation, do not worry. The podcast is out now. Just search for The Rachel Zimmerman Show on the Odyssey app or anywhere else you get your podcasts, and you can listen to the full conversation there. I am out of time for this episode, you guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I appreciate every single one of you, and I will talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. Bye.